And we are here with the Gulf Coast Growth Show Virtual Edition, and I am with Mr. Bob Charlet from the Houston Business Journal. Good morning, Bob.
How are you?
Great to be with you. Pretty good. Yeah, and we were just talking, and it's fun because Bob just, no matter what, he always just looks so cleaned up and buttoned up and ready to go. He's been at it for weeks there at the office, and one thing that's beautiful about his industry is they don't stop, and they haven't stopped, and he's been hard at it. And so if just a real quick backdrop about today's episode, we were excited to have Bob on. Naturally, because of the nature of his business, he gets out and communicates with business owners, entrepreneurs, individuals that are making an impact in the city, tons of service organizations. So the HBJ being a hub for communication here in our great city, and we're excited to have him today. The topic of the conversation is really to give you a quick backdrop about HBJ. I think they have a phenomenal story, the relationship with the Economic Alliance, talk a little bit about digital transformation that's happened inside their organization, what we're seeing. I think everybody probably gets the HBJ at some level of this, has seen it show up at their desk. I mean, their lists are always favorites, especially for sales guys. But so everybody loves those. But, you know, the reality is they've done some phenomenal things, and the transformation they've made has been really significant over the last few weeks with our shift to everybody moving to their phones, wanting relevant information. So we're going to talk about that. We're also going to jump in to a little bit about what the landscape might look like in the future, how people should position themselves, meaning as business owners, entrepreneurs, things that he's hearing, things he's experienced in previous monumental shifts, maybe dating back to the last issue that we had in 2008, 2009. So, Bob, thank you. I look forward to diving in. And with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to you. Give us a quick backdrop. For our audience that doesn't know you, let them know a little bit about HBJ, also some of the work that you guys have done with the Economic Alliance and really how that came to be.
Jason, thank you. It's great to be with you. So quickly, my background is media. I am from the great city of New Orleans, Louisiana. That is home. As a matter of fact, I was just there this weekend seeing my mom. And that's where I got my start in the media biz, working at the Times-Picayune 33 years ago, a long time ago. 10 years there, had my own publishing company in New Orleans for about 7. Moved to Los Angeles, oh my God, about 20 years ago to run a global media organization, kind of trade publishing. Did that for about 7 years. And then about 12 years ago, I got my business journal start. I took over the operation in a tiny little place called Honolulu, Hawaii. And I was there for 7 years, ran that organization, and almost exactly five years ago, I took over the helm here at HBJ, and have loved every minute of being here. To give you a little bit of background on the organization, HBJ is part of a much bigger organization called American City Business Journals. We are based in Charlotte, North Carolina. As of yesterday, we announced our 44th business journal in the family. We will be launching in Cleveland later this month. So we're now 40 business journals that are print and digital, and 4 journals that are digital only. New York, LA, Chicago, Cleveland are digital only. And we're part of a much bigger parent company, which is based in New York. It's called Advanced Publishing. And the DNA of that company got its start over 100 years ago in newspapers.
Oh, wow.
And we still have newspaper holdings in the U.S., but we also own Condé Nast, which is magazines like GQ and Vanity Fair that a lot of people know of. We have an interest in the Discovery Channel and lots of other smaller media holdings. So the parent company is 100% media, which has really aided in our evolution as a business platform. And I can talk a little bit about that later, but kind of the evolution of the Economic Alliance relationship, and it's one of our most valuable relationships. You know, when I got here about 5 years ago, I was doing diligence, as anybody would, coming into a new city and a new operation. And, you know, events are a big, big part of what we do, and it's an extension of our brand out into the community. So I was looking at the landscape of what we were currently doing and noticed that we were not doing any events that centered around the port. So doing diligence, I discovered the Economic Alliance. So again, being new here, I called, got Chad on the phone and said, hey, I'm new in this position. Would it be okay if I came down and met you? And Chad, being the incredible guy that he is, he said, yes. Yeah. So came down. And I'll never forget that discussion. I said, you know, we're thinking about doing a series of panel events, and we'd like one of them to be around the port. And we're thinking about doing our event in August. What are your thoughts on that? And Chad, in a very sort of dignified way, said, well, we have an event that we do that's about 1,000 attendees and speakers like George Bush and senators. And I made one of my first executive decisions as a new publisher and said, we'd like to partner with you. So that began the relationship with Chad. And I have to say, it has become blossomed into just one of the best relationships that we have on so many fronts. HBJ is now a direct supporter of the Alliance. We sponsor their events. I've emceed part of their big annual event. Chad Burke has now appeared on multiple panel events for HBJ. He's contributed editorial pieces. He's a very trusted advisor to our editorial team. And he's actually a featured panelist on our virtual energy event coming up next week. So I can't say enough about how important the Alliance is. Their reach, their influence in the region is just unbelievable. And Chad is just a phenomenal leader. And as I say, we consider it a very important relationship.
Fantastic. And I think that's important because, and when you just mentioned it, but energy, and I think we're feeling the effects of energy. And we're seeing it rear its head here in Houston. It's never changed. It's always been a big part of our nature. But it's great to see an organization such as yours grasp the importance and relevance of that, and then grabbing some signature people that are out in the trenches of the energy corridor. And really, because I know you have them. I'm excited about next week's event, by the way. But there's some great people on that list. And to know that you guys are actively digging into that and figuring out how to tell the energy story is really important in our city. I'm glad that we grasped that. Now let's talk a little bit about y'all's transformation. Tell me more about really the story, because I think a lot of people could realize from this, because the importance is, as we start to gravitate things, how have you guys adapted to change? Because this has been an evolving landscape even before now, and there will be a lot of need for change earlier. So I think your story tells a great one of how change is critical and how you can adapt to it. Tell us a little bit about HBJ's journey that you guys have shifted from over the last few years, because it's been pretty significant.
Yeah, you know, I think media historically was general information, right? And the internet 25 years ago came along and changed that overnight, right? I mean, that commodity of general information that 25 years ago you could only get daily paper, network television, radio, maybe some other, you know, media information source, that was kind of it. Well, the internet changed that overnight. So even to this day, those more traditional mediums have suffered, right? Well, I like to say, you know, part by design and part by accident, the only thing we ever did was highly, highly targeted information, business information, which in the environment we're in today is highly coveted. So, you know, about 10 years ago, we, like a lot of traditional media organizations, were still trying to figure out the digital piece, right? And believe it or not, even 10 years ago, a lot of major media entities you know of today had still not truly shifted to a digital environment, and we did. And I gotta say, that was kind of a big deal back then, because, you know, I think there were the digital world had not established itself as a clear direction forward, at least not in the media business. So about 10 years ago, we launched newsletters. And that at the time, it was free to subscribe. We did not charge for that content. I think our concept was the reader now wants information, even business information. At the time, we were only publishing once a week, right? So if you wanted business information, you could only get it from us or any other journal 4 times a month. Well, that wasn't enough. The news cycle was happening too quickly. There was too much important information that we really needed to get to the reader quicker. So we started out the newsletters, and you know, that started with a morning edition only. And at that time, we sort of aggregated the top news stories of the day. We plopped that into a newsletter. We sent it out. Well, what do you know? A lot of people read it, and a lot of people subscribe. So that morphed into an afternoon edition as well. And little by little, that information became only information from the local market. So simultaneously, we shifted the way that we presented information into highly, highly targeted verticals like energy. So if you read our business journals in any city, what you'll see is 3, 4, 5, 6 reporters who have highly concentrated beats, like my energy reporter here in Houston, Josh Mann, that's all he covers. And I think the shift was to being specialist, right? We needed to establish that our content was something very valuable. So, you know, fast forward to today, we have those same two newsletters that come out every day. The difference today is every day we're posting somewhere in the neighborhood of 50 to 70 content items per day, which, you know, if you think about it compared to 10 years ago, well, you know, that might be what we did in 1 week or 2 weeks. And we're doing that in a single day.
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. And the fact, too, that we're in now the digital environment means that, you know, people from around the world can access our content. Right? So that's the other shift in moving from a historically print-centric environment to a digital environment. You know, 10 years ago, we had in the neighborhood of 100,000 readers per week by way of that print publication. Fast forward to today, we have about 1 million readers per month. So the way that breaks down is about half of those readers are in Houston, but then the other half, so almost 500,000 people, are in other major U.S. cities, or really they're readers from around the world. If you're anywhere on planet Earth and you type in something about Houston or Houston in business, something in that browser is going to come up HBJ, and that's how a lot of people find us. And once they find us, they keep coming back.
That's awesome. Yeah, so... Well, needless to say, you're kind of a big deal, Bob. So,
thank you.
I heard some great stories weaved in there about adapting to change and getting there quickly. And I think that's a great thing. And you even said, what was it, about 10 years ago? Right. So it's actually interesting. About 10 years ago is really another significant moment from an economic and from a really, you know, if you look at history and how it repeats itself, usually it's at the most destructive or cataclysmic moments when you see people rise, right? Things adapt and come out of the change. And so why not let's talk, when you listen to your history, you listen to the work you do, you think about the people you talk to, the circles you're probably in, I can imagine, you probably know more CEOs than any of us could ever imagine wanting to meet, right? And so... If you're in the trenches and you've got to experience that, now as we get ready to wrap up the episode, what does it look like, right? What is the business landscape, HBJ's landscape? Just give us an overarching theme of where you feel this might shift coming out of this still and what we're in, you know, have going forward over the next few years.
Sure. You know, one of the other changes that the digital landscape provided to us, every morning I get about a 7-page analytics document created by our parent company. So this is 400 journalists in our company in 44 cities creating content. And the document I get is ranking, literally by who clicked on this content. So it's an amazing tool for staying directly connected and knowing exactly what people are clicking on and how much time they're spending. So what you get is immediate feedback from the market as to what's important to our readers. And it's important to note that those readers, the demographic profile doesn't change a lot from city to city. It's a very, very high-end business decision maker readership. So we have instantaneous feedback on what we're publishing to know is that important to our reader, and that allows us to pivot and stay very, very, very current to what people are interested in reading about. That is something that has really empowered us in our decision making, and it helps keep us very relevant. You know, fast forward to today, you know, I cannot help but draw parallels to 10 years ago. 08, 09, you know, that was a financial downturn. This one was much more health related, but it's impacting businesses similarly, and, you know, it's forcing change. Now, there is a silver lining in change in that, you know, it forces you to look at all the critical elements of your business, workforce. What is your expense structure? What is your revenue stream? I think a lot of companies are having to make hard choices right now. There's no doubt it's impacting, you know, certain industries and segments more than others. I think the consumer piece, retail, restaurants is just getting, you know, having a tough time right now. Unfortunately, I think many of them will not survive. And you're going to see consolidating. That can be a bad thing when you don't have enough of a certain kind of industry. And I think this is still getting written every day right now. We're still in the thick of it right now. You know, I think there will be some silver linings that come out of this. I think the technology piece, the workforce, I think it's accelerating what was already a trend to people working remotely. I think it's redefining relationships, both the relationships that businesses have with their customers and with consumers, and just how people, you know, interact in this virtual environment. It's very different, right? We've all become expert in Zoom meetings, right? You know, no question, there will be opportunities that come out of this. Change creates opportunities. You've already seen it. You know, I'm getting called on by companies that want to, you know, install plexiglass into our workstations, you know. Look, I think there will be some hard decisions made. You know, the 30 million out of work right now, that's real. That's going to be with us for some time. I am optimistic about that we will come out, we will be stronger. The fundamentals for our economy were strong. You know, I think Houston will really fare well when we come out of it, but there's no question there will be collateral damage. You know, as I say, there will be businesses that will not survive. And that's the negative of it. And of course, the pandemic itself and the pain and the suffering, that's just, you know, horrible, terrible backdrop. But, you know, again, that this is more of a health, you know, crisis, and the business fundamental side was there before. And I still think it's there. Beneath all of this, you know, challenge, I think that will be the foundation that we can build back from more quickly. And I think we will. And I think Houston will be a leader there. You know, I look at our company-wide numbers, and I'm so encouraged when I see the HBJ readership really as a leader across all of our cities. And I think that's what Houston is right now in the business world and the business economy. Houston is a very, very important city for business interest for, you know, U.S.-based companies and international-based companies, and I think that's something to build on going forward.
Awesome. And I think that I'm thankful that you closed with a positive note, because You know, they use the term Houston Strong. I think that came out of Harvey, was where it originated, and I distinctly remember that. But there's some truth to that. There's a reason why your publication is soaring. There's a reason why you're getting all those views. We have a very entrepreneurial, capitalistic, exciting, and enthusiastic city, vibrant city. And I think the diversification with both the Shell economy that's been created because of Shell being able to, us being able to transport gas, what we have in our port region, you know, some positive encouragement is a lot of that work is still scheduled and still in the books. It's not going anywhere. It was already allocated for creating a better means for transportation and how we get things in and out of here. And I think our city's just poised for exponential opportunity on the other side of this. Now, again, sometimes to your point, you have to go through a little pain along the way. But again, to your journal, to your publication, I would encourage this to our audience. If you've not tapped into HBJ and the work that they're doing, Bob and his team are phenomenal in their ability to not only take relevant and information to the audience, but across multiple industries. And so a great place to look for relationships and connections and people is to dive right into that publication. You want to see where change and impact is happening in our city and in our economy. You can get it right here at your fingertips. You don't have to go to any other sort of publication, because HBJ is covering them all. He even said it specifically about their specialists. They're specialists in the industry, specialists for our city, and we're thankful to have you as an alliance, peer, but more for our overall city and keeping us Houston strong, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you, Jason. Really appreciate this opportunity.
And with our audience again, you can, of course, Houston Business Journal. Bob's easy to track down. I'm so humble and thankful to have him joining us today. For the rest of our audience, we're going to continue to try to push relevant information out in a time where relevant information matters more than ever. And you can always tune into our episodes at the Economic Alliance Houston Port Region's website. There's a tabs for you to either do it audio through YouTube, and then you can subscribe to any of our episodes to get relevant information sent to you regularly as we publish and update our episodes. So again, thanks again, Bob. You guys have a great week, and we'll continue to push some episodes out here in the next few days. Thanks. Bye.